1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 to 3. You are a saint. How many would agree with that statement? Some not so sure. Some are going, ask my spouse beside me. Or the kids are going, yeah, my mom and dad call me that all the time. But 1 Corinthians 1, 1 to 2, Paul uses a term and calls the Christians in Corinth saints. You are a saint. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, what is the term that you are exactly using? Because we're not comfortable with that term. Why are we not comfortable with the term saint? Because you think you have to be perfect. Saint is perfection. What else? You are a saint. You do no wrong. Everything you do is perfect. Anybody say amen to that? No. I think our kids think that we're perfect until they start to realize and remember things and understand things, and then they go, you're just as messed up as I am. But Paul uses the term saint. You are a saint. As Mervyn said, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, called an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Sothenes, our brother, to God's church at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Halloween is upon us. How many of you, when are kids or even today, would go out and trick-or-treat? Sure. How many of you would confess that? Not too many. Halloween is about, you know, people dressing up, kids dressing up, carving pumpkins, watching It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Amen? Anybody? Or The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. I remember watching that when I was a kid, Walt Disney World. It was always on at what time? 6 o'clock on Sundays, right? Halloween is about selecting the costume that one night that is totally okay to pretend you are someone or something you're not, right? I had the girls go as M&Ms one year. But have you ever asked how Halloween came to be? Anybody know? Anybody recall? The origin is found in the ancient Celtic festival called Samhain. Samhain. Samhain commenced on the eve of October 31st and ushered in the Celtic New Year on November 1st. The Celts believe that Samhain is the time when normally strict boundaries between the dead and the living were most mutable, meaning subject to change or alteration. What does that mean? That means that the veil between the living and the dead becomes most transparent, allowing spirits of those who have died to return to visit the earth and particularly haunt those who wrong them. Have you wronged anybody? You may want to confess something before tonight. People dressed up, wearing masks and other ghostly gear in order to fool the spirits into believing that they too were of the spirit world. After all, you would not want to meet a ghost of one departed roaming the roads and the fields at night. Remember, superstition. Trick-or-treating is the evolution of the custom of people leaving food on their doorsteps in hopes to prevent and placate wandering spirits and or fairies from entering a home or doing harm. The Roman conquest and its Christianization of much of the Celtic lands of England and France subsumed Samhain. November 1st was recast as All Saints' Day, and November 2nd became All Souls' Day. The festival was called All Hallows, while the night of preparation before was called All Hallows' Eve. Therefore, Halloween. All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day were set aside to honor Christians who had died for their faith during the Roman Empire persecutions. All Saints' Day is to remember those martyred for their faith. All Souls' Day, November 2nd, is a day to remember all Christians who have passed on before us. How many of you have been to Rome? A few of us. When you were in Rome, did you go down into what they call the Mall? Did you go see the Colosseum? Did you go see the Pantheon? There's a Pantheon there, the Roman Pantheon. Did you know that the Roman Pantheon was given to a pope in 607 AD who consecrated it to all the saints who had died in the first 300 years of Roman persecution? And as a result, all the martyrs' bones and bodies were brought to be reburied under the Pantheon. It's a very holy ground. In the Book of Common Prayer, it is mentioned that these Christian holidays stand for the unity of Christians of all ages, countries, and races in Christ, and the perfection of that unity in heaven. So who are your heroes from our Christian history? Who are some of the heroes from Christian history that you recall, that you look up to, that have inspired you? Anybody? Who? Saul? Who was Paul? Okay. Who else? David? Who else? Daniel. Who? Daniel. Okay, we're pulling all these guys out of the Bible, but who else? Who else has inspired you? Your mother. Awesome. How about your father? He's still living. Yes, Per is still living. That's awesome. Who else has inspired us from Christian history, from the great cloud of witnesses of Hebrews 11? Corrie ten Boom. Yes. Yes. C.S. Lewis. Yes. Who else? Billy Graham? Anybody? He brought many thousands, I don't know if it's millions of people, to Christ. But we have this rich heritage and history of people who became Christians, and as a result of their lives of making disciples who make disciples, you and I are here. You and I are here. My grandfather and my grandmother and my aunt and uncle are my heroes from that cloud of witnesses. My grandmother prayed for me every day, she said, until I became a follower of Christ. Every day. A lot of times she didn't know where we were, because Mom and I, single mom, we were all over this country. We were in 17 different schools in 12 years. I thank and am so thankful and grateful that my grandma and grandpa, my aunt and uncle, prayed for me all those years. I didn't particularly much like the gift they gave me at my graduation, It was a devotional that said, inside, we think you'd make a great youth pastor. I was like, I'm not going to be a youth pastor, not a chance. I was going to be an architect. Maybe become an architect in God's church. But the thing is this. Remember your history. We have this day that has been celebrated on the church calendar as All Saints Day, All Souls Day, to specifically remember those who've gone before us, that have been living examples to us and to a generation, to generations of individuals, all from Jesus Christ. Think of that. We talked about baptism coming all the way forward from Jesus Christ. Think about all the people who became disciples. From that motley crew of 12 disciples, 12 apostles, to today. That's a reason to celebrate All Saints Day and All Souls Day. Now, it may seem strange to you to refer to Christ followers, as we said, yourself as a saint. It may strike you as sounding very Catholic or Anglican, but the fact is the Apostle Paul referred to Christians or Christ followers as saints. All Saints Day. All Saints Day. 1 Corinthians 1:2, to God's church at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints. You are considered a saint whether you like it or not. Whether you say to God, please don't refer to me as a saint, he still looks at you as a saint. The word saint has a strong connotation of, like we said, being perfect, without sin or wrongdoing. The word makes us feel uneasy because it says you're perfect, and we know that we're not. But that perfection is reserved for one person and one person only, who is who? Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man. The thing about being a saint is the only thing that makes it possible is that we are called and seen this way by God the Father through Jesus, who died without sin, lived without sin, satisfied God's wrath on man's head. When God looks at you, if you have said and confessed that Jesus Christ is my Lord, he's my Savior, I believe in him, I will trust him, I will follow him, I will plant my flag for him, who does God the Father see? God the Father sees Jesus. Because we are washed and cleansed by his blood. Because we believe in him. We are a saint because Jesus lives in you. And when God the Father looks at you, he sees God the Son. Because the Son took away the wrath of God. And when you and I agree with Jesus and accept him and his salvation, his love, we are in Christ, Scripture says. We are in Christ. Something mysterious, something wonderful has happened, and we can't quite explain it sufficiently enough, but this is what the Apostle Paul says to us. You are a saint. Because when God the Father looks at you, he sees Jesus. That's why there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way, because the Father only has eyes for the Son. And those who proclaim the Son as Lord and Savior are saints in God's eyes. Romans 3:26, The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Roman Christians, says this: God presented him, Jesus, to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. If you've never highlighted a piece of scripture in your Bible, here's a good place to highlight. Because it talks about your identity. And because Jesus did what he did, he was declared righteous, and anyone who makes a profession of faith in Jesus is therefore righteous in him. Because Jesus' job was to make you righteous. Not because of anything that we say, not because of anything that we do. It's simply because of Jesus and his grace, his favor. What did Martin Luther say? Salvation is by faith alone. Faith alone. What Paul is saying is that God demonstrated his need and standard of perfection through the gift of Jesus. Jesus met the Father's need of perfection by living sinless and perfect in life and in death. Jesus' conformity to the expectation of the Father led to our justification and our rightness, or righteousness, if you want to say, our purity when we believed and trusted in Jesus. Through Jesus' shed blood, we are made holy and pure in him, through him, and because of him alone. Nothing else. Not because I said yes. Not because of what I did. Not because of what I didn't do. How many check marks I have in the good column compared to the bad column. It's all about Jesus and his grace alone. That is it. His righteousness. A saint is one who has trusted in Jesus and been sanctified by his shed blood. So then, who is God's church? The church is made up of those who are sanctified. Sanctified, big word, hagazio. Can you say that? Hagazio? Or hagazio, whichever way you want to say it. Is to make holy, to make clean, to render pure. Hebrews 9:13-14 says, if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of young cow sprinkling those who are defiled sanctify for the purification of the flesh, talking about the Old Testament, how much more will the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciousness from dead works to serve the living God? What happened in the Old Testament? They brought a sacrifice, a perfect and holy sacrifice, so that it would be killed and the blood shed would be a covering, an atonement for my sins. And you would do that daily. But Jesus was taken and sacrificed for all believers one time. For all sin. His shed blood covers everything. Everything that you or I have ever said, ever thought, ever done. He covers it because of his righteousness and his shed blood. Metaphorically, those who are sanctified are those that are rendered clean in a moral sense to purify and to sanctify. Romans 15:16 speaks of the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit on one's heart. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, serving as a priest of God's good news. My purpose is that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work is to sanctify. A continual process. It's not a one-time deal. It's a continual process of walking in the ways of Christ and being guided by the Holy Spirit. Have you welcomed the Holy Spirit more and more into your life? Do you keep reading the Word of God? Because the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. And as you do that, you become closer and closer to walking closer and closer with Christ. To be sanctified is to be washed clean by the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This is what the Father sees when he looks upon us. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and some of you used to be like this, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a prayer of blessing. The Apostle Paul prayed upon believers in Thessalonica. And for us going forward, he prayed that you would be sanctified completely, made completely pure and holy and justified and righteous. That your spirit, soul, and body may be sound and complete. Jesus is the sanctifier of humanity. Jesus is the ultimate Mr. Clean who makes us clean before God, morally, spiritually, and physically. Remember those commercials? Mr. Clean? I forget how the little thing goes. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean. Anybody want to finish it? Nope. But Mr. Clean, Jesus Christ, makes us pure and holy. Hebrews 2:11, for the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers or sisters. Because he was sanctified, because he died on the cross, you and I have life. And because of that, we have a brother. We have a sister that sit across the aisle from us. We have our brother, Jesus, who died for us, that we can go to for anything and everything. And he forgives us when we confess those things. Who is God's church? It's those sanctified, and it's those who are called saints. Verse 2, those who are called saints. Those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints. Hagios. Say hagios. Hagios. They're holy, sanctified, set apart. They're consecrated. Devotion to the service of deity. Sharing in God's purity. Abstaining from earth's defilement. That's who we are in Christ. And I know the whole process and the way that we think is that I got to do all these things to be called a saint. But that happened at day one when you accepted and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You became a saint. We are each a saint working through our sanctification going forward. Acts 20:32, and now I commit to you to God and to the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. Who are all that are sanctified? Those are the saints. The saints are the sanctified. The sanctified are the saints. We have an inheritance going forward. With that great cloud of witnesses talked about in Hebrews 11. We have heaven and eternity to look forward to as those that have gone before us. As some of us said, we talked about Paul, we talked about David, we talked about Daniel. They looked forward to the one that they would trust and be sanctified and made righteous and justified before God. They're there now. Looking upon humanity. They're encouraging us from the stands. I like to think about that, but I think they might be a little bit too busy worshiping and glorifying God. But there's that terminology of the great cloud of witnesses. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that by faith in me they may receive forgiveness of sins and a share among those who are sanctified. Share among those who are sanctified, the saints. So a saint is one brought to God through and in Christ by his saving work. It is also anyone who trusts in Christ alone for salvation. You are a saint. Metaphorically, it's spoken of those who are purified and sanctified by the influences of the Holy Spirit, those included in the Christian community of Christ followers. Here's an interesting part of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 7:14, for the unbelieving husband is set apart for God by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is set apart for God by the husband. Otherwise your children would be corrupt, but now they are set apart for God. What does that have to do with anything about sanctification? Well, it does happen, and it did happen back then. You got unequally yoked, a believer and a non-believer. Well, God made a provision for that. Jesus made a provision for that. He said the belief of the one in Jesus makes pure the unbelief of the other. It's not salvation, but that individual receives the rights and the benefits of the favor of God because of the believing spouse or the believing parents. Thus, we prayed this morning about Jocelyn and her step, that Abby would be blessed because of that. And she will be, receive the benefits of that. Here's a good one. Who are of the Church of God? Who are these that are saints? Are those who share a holy kiss. It says it right in Scripture, Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send you greetings. Anybody want to share a kiss this morning? You can kiss your spouse or your children or your significant other. But those who share the holy kiss, the pledge of Christian affection, Paul talks about. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. 2 Corinthians 13:12. Those saints are also persons set apart of God and sent by him to perform his will. Those have been specifically selected and appointed in a purpose to fulfill God's work in a specific way. Billy Graham had that anointing and that appointing and set apart to do that specific ministry, as many other people have as well. John 10:36, do you say you are blaspheming to the one the Father set apart and has sent into the world because I said I am the Son of God? They wanted to take Jesus to task because he was saying I am the Son of God. And I'm blaspheming for telling the truth, that he was set apart for an appointed purpose, an appointed plan to fulfill God's will and purpose, to live as a sinless man and to die that way and to rise and bring forth the first fruits of God's glory. Sons and daughters, heirs of the kingdom, saints, that is who we are. That is who you are. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. This is a great passage in John 17 where Jesus is praying for the believers. He's praying for the apostles. He prays for himself, but he prays for you and me. Going forward throughout history, he's prayed for each believer, each saint he's prayed for. And he says, I sanctified myself so that you may be sanctified by the truth. Saints are also regarded and venerated as holy or hallow. We are instructed to pray that God the Father's name is to be hallowed and honored as holy. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9, and Luke 11, 2. We are also instructed to honor Jesus as Lord in our hearts, to set apart Jesus as Lord only in our hearts, 1 Peter 3:15. But honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Is that a reality? Is he alone in your heart? Or is it divided? Or is there little parts of your heart that you've taken away, that you've guarded, that you don't want to give to him? Peter says, make it so to honor the Messiah as Lord in your heart. Because the heart is the source of life, the wellspring of life, where the Holy Spirit lives. It also means to set something that is filthy or common, to set that apart. It's to withdraw from fellowship with the world and selfishness through fellowship with God. To become a fellowship with God is to withdraw and set yourself apart from the world, from the common. Moses was chosen to lead the Israelites. He was chosen from the common for a specific will and purpose, and he was consecrated that way. He was set apart. Who are God's church? Those across all place and time. Those saints from all place and time. Like we talked about, Hebrews 11, the great cloud of witnesses. Also those who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Corinthians had become confused as to who they were supposed to follow. Who had the authority? What were the Corinthians saying? I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Timothy. I follow Billy. I follow Francis. Right? And Paul is saying, no, you guys got it all wrong. You all follow Jesus. Because Paul and Apollos and Timothy, they follow Jesus. You forgot who was the leader, who was the Lord, who was the head of that church. So therefore, squabbles and shortcomings and sin come into the picture. When we follow man instead of following God, we're led into these things. Romans 10, 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Has anyone ever been saved because they called on the name of Paul? Or Mark? Or Peter? Or any of the saints? No. Scripture even says that we're not to pray to the saints. We are to pray to who? God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. The name of the Lord is Jesus. When you call upon the name of Jesus, when you believe upon him, you will be saved. And finally, Paul makes reference to the Corinthian Lord, the Apostle Lord, is our Lord. They are one Lord. So to clarify, Jesus is not secondary to the saint. It's not God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's three in one. One in three. Thanks, Pastor Cody. Right? God's grace and peace come from both the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul says. Grace comes from both of them. So let's get your theology straight. Jesus is the perfecter of our sainthood. So who are we? Who are you? Who are you? Are you a saint? You are a saint. You are a saint. Somebody's going to come to me afterwards, you're preaching heresy. Right from Scripture. You are a saint that is in the process of being sanctified. A saint is anyone who trusts in Christ alone for salvation. Throughout time is considered a saint in God's sight, sanctified by Christ through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.